Now, I've asked Max, this is Max Pudney, for those who don't know Max, I've asked Max if he would tell us how he became a Christian, because Max, just to give it away, is a scientist, was an atheist, but then became a Christian. And actually, it's fascinating to hear how Max became a Christian. But to start this, Max, first, thank you for being willing to do this.
No problem. Yeah.
But second, tell us about... I don't want to get this all sort of psychological or anything, but tell us about your childhood.
Yeah, sure. So when I was brought up by my parents, God just wasn't really a topic of discussion at all. It was very much something that you were supposed to come to on your own with no kind of influence in any way. Now, while my mother was a Ukrainian Catholic and we observed many traditions, including an incredibly delicious Ukrainian Christmas dinner, which I must admit.
Is that, sorry, just out of interest, is that different from what we have?
It's traditionally a 12-course affair, but...
wow! Can we all come round? That sounds great.
That's right. But other than that, and those particular kind of events, it was never really discussed, and Jesus especially was just never something as a topic of discussion at all. And so when I sort of effectively finished primary school, I just didn't really know very much about Christianity at all, and I didn't really feel like I was part of that in any way.
And so, sorry, so going through school, how did you approach that then? It's sort of life and trying to understand God and that kind of thing. What was your approach?
Yeah, so my approach was just basically to look at the world around me and through sort of the interest that I was interested in. So I was very much engaged in things like sort of watching sci-fi and things like that, and there just didn't really seem to be any room for God or Christianity or any real evidence behind it at all. And so going through secondary school, I mean, I just became more and more convinced that I could kind of figure out all these things on my own, just sort of sitting, you know, sort of late at night thinking through things logically, and just came to the conclusion that from the evidence I had in front of me that there wasn't a God, and that I could have proudly called myself an atheist, and that effectively, at that point, science could have sort of answered any questions where I believe that other people would have put God in its place, essentially.
So as you were going through secondary school there, you were saying, actually, science, therefore, for you, was the thing that could explain everything.
Yeah,
is
that's
that
right, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Science could explain everything. Any question you had, you could just investigate it and find the answer, and that there was no need for a God in that.
Okay, that's interesting. So no need for a God because of that understanding of science.
That's right.
And so when you went to university, that's where you were, was it? You were an atheist and you were saying, no, definitely no God.
Yeah, so in fact, actually, on my Facebook profile, there was a little section that said religion. And on that, I wrote the word stout atheist. So I was quite proud of that fact when I went to university. So I went to study physics at Imperial College London. So Imperial College, for those who didn't realise, is actually dedicated to science and technology as a study. And when I went there, I was expecting everyone else to be an atheist as well.
Okay, but that wasn't the case, and things changed, didn't they? So what changed there? What happened when you went to university?
That's right. It was a real surprise to me when I went to my university physics course, and there were just so many Christians. It was really confusing. But
not what you were expecting.
Not what I was expecting at all. I expected everyone to be an atheist there, but they really weren't. There were lots and lots of Christians on my physics course. And this was a really confounding for me because, of course, I just thought that everyone else would have been like-minded as I was.
Okay, so that kind of threw you a bit. And then what happened at university? What changes happened at university that sort of made you then say, actually, not just, you know, change, but actually become a Christian? I mean, that's a big turnaround.
It's a big turnaround. So there were two things that happened in parallel, the first of which was my sort of disillusionment of science. So... I'm still a scientist, so obviously I don't have that much of a problem with it. But while I was going through my university course, I realised just how much you couldn't answer with science and how much what you understood about science at that point just was kind of swept under the carpet to some extent.
Now, that would be good to hear just a little bit more on that, because I think our tendency is to think science can... We kind of have a lot of trust in science, and it's sort of a knockdown argument for people if they hear someone say, well, scientists have shown that, dot, 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 dot. Mm. And therefore, people do tend to have quite a lot of trust in science. But you're saying actually that was shaken for you. What should
Yeah, that's right. So just the deeper you go into like the fundamentals of all of the fundamental equations and everything to do with how we understand the universe, the more we realise that we kind of encapsulate a lot of our ignorance and non-understanding into a particular parameter or something. So we will have an equation and then we'll have a plus x, where x essentially just covers everything that we don't understand and that we just happen to throw in there for our own mathematical convenience. And there are a lot of things where actually the more you think you understand about science, the more you realise you really don't. So just as an example, anyone knows about sort of dark matter and dark energy, there's these two terms that a lot of people sort of bandy about as being sort of a truth representation of the world. And yet we know nothing about them. We have no idea of why they're there. And the deeper we go, the more we understand what we don't know. And so there's essentially a real problem.
And I love that idea of scientists saying the more we understand that we don't understand, or you know, we don't get it.
Yeah.
The more we know, we don't know. And so that shook your trust in science as a way of answering everything.
Yeah.
But that in itself doesn't make you a Christian. So what happened along with that to make you a Christian?
That's right. So originally I had this idea that science was truth and that there would be truth purely through science. So now that wasn't there. There was this empty gap left where what is true? What is actually reality? What is it? And so something has to cover that where science has failed. And so it was through talking with these Christians at university that they had this absolute faith and commitment to the Bible. And any question that I would ask on them, either philosophical or something to do with that, they would say, oh, well, come look in the Bible. It says here these things. And so I was sort of asking the question, well, how can you trust this Bible? Why do you find it so reliable as your source of kind of data almost, whereas I would have done for science? And so that led me to investigate the reliability of the New Testament. And while previously I would have considered it to be on shaky ground, the more I researched into the reliability of the New Testament, the more I realized just how much it was really based on sort of historical evidence, on the eyewitness testimonies. And a really big thing for me was the fact that the Gospels were written down within the lifetime of the eyewitnesses, of the people who saw Jesus when he was alive, when he was dead, and when he came back to life.
And that thing, so not just that he lived, but that Jesus died and that he came back to life.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a big thing, isn't it? And that was kind of, you've said to me, that was the big turning point to realise that, you know, that actually had historical weight behind it.
Can you say a bit about that? And particularly when Paul says that there were 500 people for whom he could name, some of whom were still alive, whom people could go and ask and say, have you seen him alive? And he's basically, you could have gone up to them and they would have told you that. And that was just real shocking for me, because the fact is that there was this reliable evidence that this man had died and come back to life. And it didn't, and that Christianity was able to go forward without people saying, well, now, hold on a minute, this wasn't true, this didn't happen.
Because those eyewitnesses could have done that if they, you know, if it wasn't true.
If it wasn't true, it would have been dispelled, and yet, here we are today.
Yeah.
Being able to have that reliable evidence to hand.
Okay. And so those two things, that sort of knocking science, as it were, the trustworthiness of science and the evidence for the resurrection there, were the things that brought you to trust in Christ.
Yeah, that's right. So when you come to the conclusion that a man has come back to life, that shakes your worldview somewhat. And so that required me to go and investigate further. And I don't think, that you can come to that conclusion and just say, well, that isn't that nice, and then just go along living as you were.
Mm.
And so I went on Christianity Explored, which is a course where I could go and ask more questions about these sorts of things and delve more into the Gospels. And going through that and reading more about who Jesus was and why he came to the world was a way in which I was able to become a Christian from that.
And what difference does that make to you now, having made that? Because how long ago was that? That was sort of 6 years.
So that was about 5 or 6 years ago now.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so what difference does that make to you now, having become a Christian?
Yeah, so previously I was always living, I was always living on the assumption that kind of time was effectively running out, and that when I died, I died, and that was it. So I kind of had various ambitions and things that I felt like I had to do within a certain time frame. I was a lot more sort of selfish in that regard because I wanted to be able to get these things done, and it didn't really matter about sort of other people. It wasn't as big a concern on my particular horizon. But no, it's changed my sort of feelings on sort of on morality, about what's kind of right and wrong, because we now have this reliable moral code in the Bible that we can rely upon. Whereas before, morality was kind of shaky, kind of depended on the moment, and it could change in time. It was sort of time varying.
So before you became a Christian, without Christianity there, morality, it was a lot more fluid.
It was a lot more fluid. So, okay. You know, what was moral 10 years ago might be completely different 10 years from now. Whereas what we read about in the Bible tells us that we can have a reliable morality that's actually independent of time. That's given to us by God. And so that changes a lot of the way in which you relate to other people and a way in which you can think about the world around you as well.
Brilliant. It is great to hear what God has done in Max's life. And Max, thank you so much for doing that. Let's give Max a round of applause.